Thank you, Friendship Assembly, for investing in Slovakia. And you'll never know until eternity your investment, how it's touched the lives of so many people. Amen. Pray for us. We're the beans. I tell people every time you snap a bean, bake a bean, grind a bean, whatever you do with your beans, pray for these beans, okay? As we travel across the country, sharing that we're home on furlough. We'll be here about a year. We hope to be back about January of 2024. And so just pray for us that God will guide our every step. I want to get right in the Word of God. And in a moment, we're going to have a special time of communion. So let's get and see what God has to say to us this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Let me say thank you for your giving to us. And whatever you do for the kingdom of God, we're grateful for that. And Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, just going to use a little bitty part of that verse and try to challenge you this morning. Romans 1, verse number 1, it says this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. And that's all I want to use. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. I just want to talk to you this morning and just challenge you on catching your call. Catching your call. Everybody say call this morning. Called. Amen. That's what Jesus wants to do, is call us. Pastor's wife a moment ago got up here and read a scripture. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth called people. Workers. We need workers in the field. There was a young farmer who was standing out in his field one day working diligently. And as he was working in the field, he looked up and he saw this cloud formation coming over his field. And he began to look more and more intently at these clouds, and he thought, man, those clouds are forming letters. And so he kept looking and watching, and before long, this phenomenon had took place, and he saw these three letters formed over his farm. It said G, P, and C. What in the world is God trying to tell me by these clouds? And so as he looked, G, P, C, what could it be? And he just finally concluded, it's got to be go preach Christ. God's calling me to go preach the gospel. And so he was so excited, he went to his pastor that week and said, or the church elders, and said, listen, I was in my field, I saw these letters, GPC, go preach Christ. God's calling me to be a preacher. And they said, well, man, that's amazing. And so because he was so enthusiastic, they invited him to come the next Sunday and going to preach at the church. And so Sunday come around, he came up, preached his first sermon. It was terrible. He preached a real long sermon. It was boring. Everybody's about to fall out of their seats and going, oh, my goodness. And so after he got done, everybody just stunned silence. They just sat there in the pews. Finally, one of the deacons spoke up and said, son, he said, listen, I know you saw those clouds, GPC. I don't really believe God was saying go preach Christ. I think those letters meant go plant corn. Amen. We all have a calling in life. Amen. It may be to plant corn. Some may be called to go preach. I don't know what your calling is, but God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And he wants to use you to build his kingdom in the world. One of the questions we're asked oftentimes as missionaries, as we travel around the country, is how did you get to where you are? I mean, how did God call you? Where did that all happen? How did it all unfold for your life? It started for me when I was 12 years old. I was in a Sunday school class in southern Missouri. My dad was a deacon there. We went every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night prayer meeting. You remember when it was like that years ago? And we went to every service. Sunday morning, Sunday school, we sat there. Our teacher got up just like every Sunday. And that morning, he started the class, had prayer, and then he stopped. And he said, I feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone in this class today. And he said, I just want to pause a moment and let you be sensitive to the voice of God. There's probably about 15 of us in this class. And he said, I just want you to know that God speaks to us. He calls us. Even at your age, at 12 years old, God can speak to your life. And so let's just pause a moment in this class and let God speak to us. And so in that moment, many years ago, sitting in that Sunday school class, there was no thunder, there was no lightning, there was no prophetic utterance, there was no emotional thing that happened. No one said anything. But in that class, I felt like the Holy Spirit walked by and tapped me on the shoulder and said, I have a work for you to do. I didn't become a missionary that day. I didn't become a pastor. I didn't do any kind of evangelism. But that touch from God, that call of God upon my heart, has led me to this day right now. I'm standing here in Minnesota, Bram, Minnesota, because of a touch of God 42 years ago. And that's why I'm preaching to you today about the call, because there's young people here and there's children here. God can speak to you even at a young age. You may not know where you're going to go, what you're going to do, but if you listen to the voice of God, He can guide your steps. He can order your way. It's amazing as we look through the scriptures, the concept of being called by God. It's a biblical idea. It's amazing. The Bible's filled with stories of men and women who were called by God, and because they were just ordinary people like you and I, but because they were willing to say yes to God, they changed their generations. Amen. They made an effect upon their whole world around them. It's exciting to read about people like Noah was called to build an ark, and because he was willing and obedient to do that, he saved his family from destruction. We can read about Abraham, who was called to leave his family and to lead a nation of people. We read about Moses, called to organize one of the biggest exoduses in all the world, and he led people toward the promised land. We're people like Esther, who was called to come to the kingdom for such a time to spare the life of her own people. There's people like Joshua and Jonah and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Amos and Deborah and Peter and Paul and Priscilla, all these people in the scriptures, and many, many more we're not mentioning this morning, but they were called by God, and because they said yes, they changed their generation for the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, church, that the call of God is a bittersweet thing. If God calls you, it's not always easy, is it, Pastor? It's not always easy. Well, I'm called by God. It doesn't mean it's always going to be a rose garden. It's a bittersweet thing. But I want to tell you this, that if God calls you in your life to do a certain thing or to be at a certain place or work with certain people, the very call that takes you into some of the darkest nights, the call that takes you to some of the biggest mountains you have to climb and some of the greatest obstacles in your life, the very call that takes you into that will be the same call that will pull you through the other side. Amen? Amen. You'll go through difficult times. You'll have challenging times. But if you'll hang on to the call, it'll make a difference in your life. You'll pull through the other side. Noah was, as I mentioned a while ago, Noah was called to build this ark. 120 years he preached righteousness. 120 years he preached. And only had 7 converts in 120 years. Difficult. But he was persistent, and because he was obedient to the call, God preserved the life of him and his family. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They were all broken down, and everyone was sad because the walls of Jerusalem were falling down. He came, and he did it, but the enemy hated him because of it, and they fought against Nehemiah. And the Bible says that he fought with one hand, and they worked with the other hand. The enemy came against him, but they completed the work of God because God had called them to do that. The call of God took Daniel into a lion's den. But also, that same call stopped the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was preserved. His life was left. Back in the 90s, my wife and I were in between ministries, and we're quite older, almost 60 years old. And so we've been in the ministry a long, long time, and almost 40 years. And so back in the 90s, we were in between ministries, and we were seeking the will of God. And I said, God, show us what we need to do next. And so I'd go at night and pray in this church that we were at, and we were visiting that area, and I'd just go and pray, and I'd say, God, show us what we're supposed to do. And I'd come home and tell my wife, this is what we're supposed to do. And the next morning I'd get up, and that was gone. You know, I was just looking for something, you know, trying to find a clue from God. And one night I stayed in the altar, and I said, God, I'm not leaving here until I hear from you. And that night, God spoke to us to go plant a church in southern Missouri. And so the next day, I went to my boss, put in my resignation. And 2 weeks later, we're in a U-Haul taking all of our things to southern Missouri. And there we planted a church in Springfield, Missouri. And we were there for 15 years pastoring. Oh, it was a challenge. We worked with alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes and the poor people on the north side of Springfield. And our hearts went out to these people. We loved them and had them in our home. And we just discipled them and just poured our heart into them. Oftentimes, we didn't have money. Sometimes, we didn't have musicians at church. We just, you know, just sung a cappella. I mean, it was a challenging time. But you know what? We never questioned our time there. You know why? Because we were called there. And that call kept us, even in those difficult moments. It was in that time pastoring there, about 10 years in, I had a chance to go to Europe on a mission trip to East Germany. And we did some tent meetings, we did some work, and I preached in a little church plant in Weißwasser, Germany. And that morning, there was about as many people as this middle section right here in the whole church. And I preached to them, this new church plant, and 3 years later, I went back home, and early in the morning, I had a dream. I saw those same people. God showed me them vividly, as though I was there again in that same service, preaching to them. Something happened in that dream. I'm not a guy that lives on dreams and visions. You know, I just heard from the Lord. I'm not a person that lives like that. But there was something unusual about this because it stuck with me. I couldn't shake it. It was the start of God calling us to missions. And I didn't even realize it. I thought I would pastor my entire life. I didn't ever dream I'd be a missionary. But God began to work in my wife and I's heart. I went back in 2007 to the Czech Republic and did a week of missions and prayer. And while I was walking down the streets of a city in Kolín, Czech Republic, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to come to this part of the world and work for me. I went back and told my wife. The next week we went to our district and told them, we're going to be missionaries. We want to be missionaries. And they were just like, wow, you know, I never dreamed I'd go. But God had a call on our lives. So we applied to go to the Czech Republic, and right before we were supposed to go, our leader said, we don't have any missionaries in Slovakia. Would you go to Slovakia? And we said, yes. It was tough. Going to a new country, leaving two kids behind, taking three kids with us, learning a new culture, learning a new language, being away from our family, dividing our family. Oh, it was tough. I'd come home sometimes, and my wife would curl up in the bed crying all day because women don't do much ministry there. They don't, the men, it's more men-dominated culture. And so she was just there trying to occupy the home, keep things going. But she'd say, John, are you sure we're supposed to be here? Are you sure we heard the call of God? You believe this is where we're supposed to go? I mean, we've left our family and our parents. They're aging and all kinds of problems, and here we are just sitting here. And I'd take her in my arms, and I said, we're in the place we're supposed to be because God called us here. It may be dark now. I call it the dark night of the soul. We couldn't feel God. We couldn't sense God. I mean, it was a dark time for us. But I told her, I said, the sun's going to shine again. We're going to find our place. And we finally found the Roma people. And God lit up our heart. Our hearts began to bubble up because we knew why God had called us to Slovakia. And now God has opened so many doors for us. My wife has so much work to do with the children and with parents and all kinds of women's ministry there that she can barely keep up with all the things going on. We're right in the center of God's will. That's where we need to be in our lives, is finding God's will for our lives, being in the center. And so what I've just shared with you over these last couple minutes is our call story, how God has took us from this place and brought us to the place we are today. It's a call story. And today, if you've been called, your pastors and his wife have been called here to this church, and I'm sure they can tell you their journeys from this state to this state or wherever they've lived and how God's brought them to this place. And maybe you're here and you're called into a ministry, and God has led you from zero to where you are today, and you've got a plot and a plan you've went through. That's your call story. We all have one if we've been called by God. And if you don't have one today, God wants to start one in your life. He wants to lead you and guide you and take you to a place that he has planned and prepared for you. A call story is the history of whispered words and events that God's unfolding before you to show you where he wants you to be in his kingdom. One of the reasons why I'm preaching this morning is because I'm challenged in churches as I go around the country of people's more involved in careers than they are callings. Have more people excited about what they can achieve in life and what they can accomplish and how much money they can make and all these things. And God's always put on the back burner. He's put on the bottom shelf. I'm trying to tell you today, folks, we need to put God on the top shelf of our lives. We need to put him on the front burner of our lives and say, God, I got to put you in a priority place. You made me not to make a big living for myself, and there's nothing wrong with having a home and those things, money in the bank, that's okay. But when we live our entire life for nothing but ourselves, we're not going to see the call of God. Oftentimes we'll push God's call to the back and we'll live for ourselves. And so I'm challenging young people and you children even, listen to the voice of God young in your life. And say, God, use me, take me, and use me for your glory and make a difference through my life. Man, maybe you're here today and you're a teacher, a local school, or you're a contractor. You may be a clerk or a farmer. You may be a wife or a mother, a postal worker. God may have called you to work with children. Thank God for the nursery worker, whoever just stepped up to the plate and helped in that. Youth or men or women, whatever it is that God's calling you to. Man, can I ask you this morning to recommit your life to Christ and say, God, I'm here for a purpose. I know you have a plan for me. I don't want to just live for myself. When I die one day and Pastor stands over my body, I want them to be able to say that I did my part. I don't want to look back and regret and come to the end of my journey and I never invested my life for the kingdom of God. God's calling us. Let us catch the call that he has for us. Let me just share with you in my closing comments this morning that the call has three aspects to it that's important for us. Number one is the call of God has a reach to it. Everybody say reach.
Reach.
Reach. Your call has a reach. Wherever God calls you, he's putting you there because he wants you to reach a particular people, a particular problem, or to be insight to a different situation. He's putting you in that place because there's a reach to that call. We're reaching people in Central Europe, in Slovakia. That's our call. Your call is maybe your community, your city, your village, your town, wherever you are. Whatever, it may be in your schoolroom. It may be in your community. It may be your neighbor. I mean, God's called you to that place to reach a particular people. There's going to be people you're going to influence that your pastor will never touch. There's going to be people you're going to influence that I'll never come across their path. God's put you in that place to reach those people. And so your call's important. Don't drop your call. Don't neglect your call. God's using you to reach a particular place. And so it's so important. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, how can they call on one they've not believed in? Four questions we want to ask you. How can they believe in one they've never believed in or heard about? Second of all, he asks, how can they believe in one whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or telling them, right? And how can anyone preach to them unless they're what? They're called or they're sent. So the whole process of people being reached all depends on someone being called. Someone has to go and tell. And so there's people waiting on your call. They're waiting on you to influence them or tell them about Jesus Christ. Second of all, the call has a reason. What is the reason for the call? Well, it's because none of us are righteous. No, not one. We're all as filthy rags until Jesus comes into our life. Man, we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. And so we need the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we go. That's the reason why we call. That's the reason why we preach. 680 million people in the world today that have never heard the name of Jesus one time in their entire life. Billions of people in the world today are called unreached people. They've never been told, never had a Bible, never heard the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we're in Slovakia trying to reach the 1,000 villages in our country. It's because people need Jesus Christ in their life. That's why God calls us, is to make a difference. And the thing that we have to do is be obedient to God's call. And the last thing let me share with you is the call needs a response. These brothers a moment ago sang this song about Isaiah's time with God. He saw the vision. And the coal of fire was put on his lips. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, I hear the call. Here am I. Send me. We have to respond to the call. It's going out to all the world. Who will come and follow me? Who will come and be my disciples? Who will go to the field and plant and harvest? God's calling all of us in some aspect in our life. We have to respond to that call. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of his final words to all of us was, "It is finished." What was finished? His work, his call. Jesus Christ was called to this earth to be the substitutionary death for all of us. He was called here to be our sacrifice. He was called here to take on the sins of all mankind. That was his calling. "I came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost." That was my reason for coming. I come not to push away people, but I come to bring them to me. That was why he came. And when he hung on the cross, his final words, "I have finished my calling. I finished my course. It's all finished. I did what I was supposed to do." Paul, in his latter moments of his life before he was executed, what did he say? Almost the same words, didn't he? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Also, Paul was telling us, I told you in the very first verse when I read it to you this morning, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. At the end of his life, he said, "I finished my course." What was he saying? That call that I got on the Damascus Road, and the light shone upon me, it's brought me to this place today. But all that space in between, I've been called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And I have finished my course. I've done all I'm supposed to do. May that be the testimony of all of us. That when we come to the end of our journey, we can say, "I finished my course. I have kept the faith." Jesus, thank you for calling us to follow you. Thank you for this congregation here at Friendship Assembly. Lord, I love their beautiful spirits and I love their hearts. I sense a real unity among them. Lord, and you have called all of us to come be your disciples. You've called us to be your disciples like you did Peter, James, and John, all the disciples. You called them, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." But this morning, I'm preaching a little bit farther and saying you're calling us even to a farther calling, not just to salvation, but now to service. God, that we would be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to take up my cross and follow you and be what you want me to be with my life." I pray this morning we'd make new commitments that, "Lord, don't let me just stay the way I am. But let me live with intention, purpose, Lord, in the place that you have called me to be." In Jesus' name, amen.